Radio Prague News.
President Miloš Zeman says he will sign a decree conferring the title of professor on Martin C. Putna. The head of the Orthodox Church begins a visit to the Czech Republic on Wednesday evening. And the Civic Democrats say they won't give in to top 09 pressure and relinquish any seats on the Prague City Council. The Czech President Miloš Zeman says he will sign a decree conferring the title of professor on Martin C. Putna. However, he won't hand it over in person, but have the Minister of Education, Petr Fiala, present it to the literary historian. Mr. Zeman made the announcement after talks with Mr. Fiala on Wednesday. The head of state had sparked broad condemnation by saying he wouldn't name Mr. Putna professor. At first, he refused to say why, but he later said it was because of a provocative placard the academic had carried in a gay pride march. Mr. Zeman also says that the power to appoint professors should be removed from the president. Martin C. Putna told reporters on Wednesday that he accepted being presented with the decree by Minister Fiala and that he regarded the matter as closed. However, he said receiving the document didn't end the fight for freedom of academic expression. Mr. Putna said academics and activists would continue to be manipulated, obstructed and threatened, adding that similar or worse things would happen to people who were less well known than him. The literary historian also thanked all of those who had supported him since the dispute with Mr. Zeman began. The head of the Orthodox Church, Patriarch Bartholomew I, begins a four-day visit to the Czech Republic on Wednesday evening. The Patriarch is coming to the country in connection with celebrations marking the 1150th anniversary of the arrival in Moravia of the Orthodox missionaries St. Cyril and Methodius. Patriarch Bartholomew blessed the church in Šumperk in 1998 and returned to the Czech Republic the following year to attend Forum 2000 at the invitation of then-president Václav Havel. The Civic Democrats have said they will not give up any of their five seats on the Prague City Council. The party are locked in a power struggle with top 09, who insist they should receive one of those seats and have seven seats to the Civic Democrats' four. Moreover, top 09, who came first in the last municipal election, say a candidate of theirs should replace the Civic Democrats' Bohuslav Svoboda as mayor of the Czech capital. Top 09 say the Civic Democrats have until later on Wednesday to accept a revised coalition deal. However, the two sides said no breakthrough had been made during talks in the morning. The funeral has taken place in Prague of Walter Komarek, who was one of the leaders of the Velvet Revolution and briefly served as deputy leader of Czechoslovakia's first post-communist government. Speaking at a memorial service for the left-wing politician and economist, who died last week at the age of 82, President Miloš Zeman said no party should abuse his name in order to promote themselves. Mr. Zeman said that while Mr. Komarek had been honorary chair of the Social Democrats, he had maintained his own views. The president was himself head of the Social Democrats and has mixed relations with its leaders today. An exhibition of clothing, photos and other items linked to screen legend Marilyn Monroe may not go ahead in Prague after one of the trucks carrying the materials from Italy was stolen on Tuesday night. While many of the stolen items were exhibition furniture, such as display cases and pedestals, some original photographs were also taken. The lorry was found empty near Mělník in central Bohemia on Wednesday morning. The travelling exhibition, simply entitled Marilyn, is scheduled to open its doors at Prague Castle's Riding School next Wednesday. And finally, a look at the weather. Forecasters say we can expect sunshine and showers in the coming days. Temperatures will reach up to 16 degrees Celsius. My name is Ian Willoughby. You'll find more stories at radio.cz. But for now, that's the end of the news.
The This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Bellinger. Coming up in today's program, the president has said in the end he will name well-known literary historian Martin C. Putnam professor, but he will break with protocol. We'll have details. Then talks between Topo 9 and the Civic Democrats continue over who will lead at City Hall. We talk to an analyst about what's at stake. And a little later in the program, stay tuned for another edition of Marketplace, where Jan Richter looks at the franchise market in the Czech Republic. Controversy sparked by the Czech president's reluctance to appoint a university professor seems to have been resolved. Miloš Zeman's refusal to confer the title on Martin C. Putna, a literary historian and vocal critic of his, caused an outcry in the academic community and beyond. However, on Wednesday, the president and the education minister struck a deal. Mr. Putna will, after all, be appointed professor, but he will receive his decree from the minister rather than from the head of state himself. Well, our very own Jan Richter has been following the story, and he joins me now in the studio. So, Jan, what exactly have the president and the education minister agreed on?
Well, the appointment ceremony for some 60 university professors is set to take place at Prague Castle on the 11th of June. Now, the president said that he would sign the decree for Mr. Putna, but he will not hand it to him personally at that ceremony. Instead, Mr. Putna is set to receive the degree later and from the education minister, Petr Fiala. The deal also involves a change to the higher education bill, which is now being debated and discussed by the various ministries. President Zeman basically asked the education minister to leave out a provision in that bill, which gives the president the authority to appoint professors. And Mr. President said that if he can't have a say over who is appointed, then it doesn't make really sense for him to make the actual appointments. So if the legislation gets approved, it should enter force in 2015, and from that time, Czech university professors will be appointed by the education minister, which is, by the way, how it's done in most European countries.
Mm-hmm. So that'll mark an end of the sort of rubber stamping of the process by the president. Interesting. And why did President Zeman refuse to appoint Mr. Putna a professor in the first place?
Well, this is probably the most interesting part of the story. President Zeman was actually never really specific about this, but from some of his remarks and from what the education minister Fiala said today, it appears that the president didn't like Mr. Putna's gay activism. Mr. Putna is a literary critic and a Catholic intellectual, and he's openly gay. And a few years ago, he took part in a gay pride event in Prague. During that event, he held a placard with the word buzna on it, that could roughly be translated into English as queer, or perhaps even with some stronger term. However, Mr. President probably didn't think this was fitting for a professor, which is in the Czech Republic still considered a sort of a social honor to be appointed, to engage in this kind of behavior. But there's all kinds of wide-ranging speculation over different reasons, because Mr. Putna also is a very vocal critic of the president. He openly and repeatedly backed Mr. Zeman's arrival for the presidency in January's vote. So could also be a mix of these reasons.
Mm-hmm. And so do developments today mark the end of what some in the media have dubbed Putnagate?
Well, we will see what Mr. Putna himself has to say about this. He announced he would come up with this, he was announced his standpoint to the whole issue later today outside Prague Castle. So he might choose, of course, not to receive it, the decree from signed by the president from the education minister. He might think this is a little humiliating if he's sort of being singled out and not allowed to take part in that appointment ceremony. Also, there were some protests scheduled in support of Mr. Putna later this week, so we will see what happens. But it seems that, at least on the top level, a way has been found how to close the whole issue.
Mm-hmm. And we'll see if it does remain indeed closed or whether there will be further waves from that story. Jan Richter, they're reporting. Thanks a lot. Now, talks are continuing at Prague City Hall between former coalition partners, the Civic Democrats and Topo 9. On Monday, the latter quit the 11-member council, citing concerns over the administration of key areas, including financing, as well as outstanding problems such as the overpriced Blanka Tunnel. and Top 09 have since offered the Civ Dems a new agreement, one that, however, offers the latter fewer seats on the council and also sees them lose the post of mayor. Well, earlier I asked political analyst Yiti Pehe about developments, including whether Top 09's stated reasons for the breakup were the whole story.
Well, I think there's more at stake. First, we have to realize that it's only 1 year before the parliamentary elections, and Top 09 and the Civic Democrats are competing for a dominant position on the right side of the political spectrum. Basically, what we see in Prague is maybe a test of what we will see next year. Top 09 simply senses that it's becoming quite quickly the dominant force, dominant rightist political party in the Czech Republic, and as such, it feels that it should not be in this, let's say, slightly subservient position in the Prague City Hall, because it was Top 09 that won the elections, municipal elections in Prague, not the Civic Democrats, and there is really no reason for Top 09 to be in this position at this point. So there is more at stake, and although one cannot easily dismiss all the substantial matters such as conflicts over Blanka Tunnel and so on, I think most of it is just political jockeying for power.
Nevertheless, for voters in Prague, those are serious problems, things like Blanka, how different projects are financed, corruption and so on. Is there a potential that this sort of power grab by Top 09 could backfire, because it's difficult to imagine that any new council at City Hall could govern particularly effectively with the time left remaining to it?
If Top 09 takes over and they do realize it, I think it will not be easy for them, simply because they will have to really go into some of the projects which so far have been run by people from the Civic Democratic Party, and they may have to do things such as audits and will have to really investigate whether there were cases of misappropriation of money and corruption and so on. There are suggestions or hints by some Top 09 politicians that this could be the case. So Top 09 is really accepting a lot of responsibility by taking over the Prague City Hall. On the other hand, the elections to the Prague City Hall are not held at the same time as elections to other regions, and so they still have some time to actually do something and prepare for the next election. It's a sort of high-stake game on part of Top 09, but it could pay off.
On the face of it, even if Top 09 do come to an agreement, because that still is a possibility, if they do come to an agreement with the Civic Democrats on a reshuffle, basically, in the council, is there any way that Prague Mayor Bohuslav Soboda comes out of this on top?
My feeling is that much of what's going on in Prague actually is about Mr. Soboda. He is a good mayor. He is seen by many people as someone who stands out in the Civic Democratic Party, who is not associated by the electorate with some of the other politicians from Civic Democrats who have been to a large extent compromised by their past activities. And maybe this is exactly why Top 09 wants to replace Svoboda, because they need someone from their own ranks as visible as Svoboda, and they also need to drive Svoboda aside. Basically, he is in a rather unfortunate position. He is not loved by his own people in the Civic Democratic Party. Some of them will be only too happy to get rid of him as mayor, and he also is not really appreciated by Top 09, because he is one of the few politicians in the Civic Democratic Party right now who is still capable of taking votes away from Top 09.
That was political analyst Jiří Pehe talking there about the situation at Prague City Hall. My thanks again to him. And a reminder, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. If you'd like to look up any of the stories you've heard today, to hear them again or to read them, you can visit us on the internet. The address is radio.cz. Also, if you're on Facebook or Twitter, you can also look us up there. Now, though, it's time for today's main feature. The Czech franchise market registered massive growth last year. At a time of recession and falling household spending, both domestic and international franchisers seen good opportunities in the Czech Republic and other countries in Central and Eastern Europe. Around a dozen U.S. chains might expand to the region in the coming months. But it's Czech franchises which now lead the way. Jan Richter has more in this edition of Marketplace.
Some US franchises, such as McDonald's and KFC, have been in the Czech Republic for nearly two decades. Czechs can now go get a burger at Burger King, enjoy a coffee at Starbucks, or get together for a meal at TGI Fridays. Most foreign franchises that have come to the country have been a success, and only a small number of them never managed to take off. The Czech franchise market has been growing for some time now, and more US brands are now looking to expand in the Czech Republic and other Eastern European countries. One of them is Chuck E. Cheese's, a chain of family-oriented restaurants. I sat down with the firm's director of global development, Carlos De Leon, during his trip to Prague.
What we're looking to have here is hopefully a group or a person or a company that wants to develop the entire market of the Czech Republic.
How far have you progressed in finding a partner here in the Czech Republic?
Well, this is my first visit to Prague with this particular brand. This morning we already met a group that is very interested. They're in the similar business in this country, so it will probably be an easy transition for them to franchise our brand. I think that what we're planning to have is a franchisee within the next 90 days, and then probably the first opening would be sometime in mid-year next year, so in about 12 months.
Another brand which is not present in Europe at all and is now looking for a partner in the Czech Republic is the U.S. quick service restaurant chain Dairy Queen. Amir Kramer is the company's vice president for international development.
We look at the Czech Republic as part of the bigger picture of Central Europe, where we want to group, certain countries, or this is going to be our focus in the future. So we have been in communication and negotiation with various groups in the Czech Republic, but we also are looking at a more regional prospective franchisees. Some of them have approached us from nearby countries, so we are also considering their application. So this thing take longer than we expected, but we want to make sure that we are actually getting signed with the right people.
Other U.S. franchises eyeing the Czech Republic include Texas Chicken, Cold Stone Creamery, Denny's, Great American Cookies, and others. But the market is attractive to different concepts from other countries as well, such as clothing stores, cosmetic retailers, real estate brands, and a number of educational and health services. I asked Bill Schreiber from Texas Chicken why they focus on Eastern Europe rather than the more affluent countries in the West.
Western Europe is not something we're particularly focused on right now, but Eastern Europe we're very interested in. And as a matter of fact, we just opened up store number 2 in Kiev, Ukraine.
Why is Eastern Europe more interesting for you than Western Europe?
Because people in Eastern Europe eat chicken more on a per kilo basis per year than they do in Western Europe. And the fact that the opportunity to grow with better returns on investment and cost of entry for opening up units and stuff is much better in Eastern Europe than it is in Western Europe at this point in time.
The Czech economy has been going through protracted recession, the longest, in fact, since the fall of communism. Real wages have been decreasing and people tend to spend less. That, in return, deepens the economic stagnation. But for some U.S. chains, this is a time of great opportunity. Carlos De Leon from Chuck E. Cheese's says that real estate prices, among other things, play a role in the company's focus on Eastern Europe.
The timing is never really perfect to come into market, but we feel that our brand is very affordable. Our brand in the U.S. Is considered a value added to, so families can come in and have a whole day of entertainment without having to spend a lot of money. So that would be something to be specific that would make sense to bring into a market that where the economy is in recession. But also, when this happens, you get favorable terms with the rent and real estate becomes available.
Last year, the Czech franchise market saw a growth of around 22%. Another big change is that, unlike a few years ago, the majority of the brands are now homegrown, according to Petra Ryčelová, who heads the Czech Franchise Association.
Ty české koncepty tvoří 60% našeho trhu, to znamená ten franchising.
Czech concepts account for 60% of the market, which means they're quite successful. One of the fastest expanding concepts is farmers' food stores. I think this is because Czechs are now much more interested in what they eat and take better care of their health.
I ten trend zájmu o naše zdraví se zvyšuje.
Ms. Ryčelová says that according to the latest reports, all segments of the market grew in 2012. But fast food concepts remain the most dynamic sector.
Nejoblíbenějším sektorem i v loňském roce nadále zůstala gastronomie, která zaujímala.
Gastronomy remains the most popular sector with 22 concepts and a 14% share of the market. Gastronomy kept the biggest share, although the number of other concepts also increased, such as real estate services, healthcare, fitness, as well as services for seniors and educational services for both children and adults.
Nebo vzdělávání dětí i dospělých.
One franchising concept which has been successfully established in the Czech Republic is a buyer's choice home inspections, a service that filled a gap on the Czech market. The company awarded what is known as master franchise to its Czech partner a few years ago. The Czech firm's sales manager, Tomáš Šimon, explains why they chose to buy the franchise rather than develop the business from scratch.
We finally realized that would be much better to put together with some kind of strong partner which is already done in it on even different market, but they already have some experience. They're doing the inspection. They have behind hundreds of inspectors, which can be our colleagues, partners, and of course our advisors. We know that we are on a little bit different market, which means that we basically put all our technical manuals and all our condition for the market where we are, but it was very helpful that we can use Canadian and American experience.
Another good reason for investing into a franchise is buying in bulk, which can considerably lower the firm's cost, says Petra Ryčelová from the Czech Franchising Association.
Podnikání pod zavedenou značkou sebou přináší určité výhody.
Doing business under an established brand has some advantages. For instance, companies are increasingly aware of the need to cut costs to survive. One of the ways to do this is to buy products at lower prices, and being part of a franchise allows you just that. Mass purchases under one brand allows them to push for lower prices. That makes products more accessible for franchise holders who can in return offer quality products at lower prices to their customers.
Dostupnější pro franchisanty, kteří působí síti a přesto nabízejí kvalitní výrobky.
The biggest problem in expanding the franchising market remains finding a suitable partner. The costs of franchises vary from a few hundred thousand crowns to tens of millions in the case of master franchises for some large international chains. But Czech entrepreneurs seem willing to start up businesses with all the support the mother companies can provide, which makes the Czech franchise market set for further growth in the coming years.
You've been listening to Marketplace with Jan Richter here on Radio Prague, and that brings us just about to the end of today's program. One more quick reminder, though, you'll find many more stories and news at our website, radio.cz, and if you'd like to comment on anything you've heard in today's program, please do so by writing to english@radio.cz. I'm Jan Wellinger for all of us here at the station. Thanks for joining us, and take care.